Just prior to Ravi, in this week's parsha, it's the second pasuk in Perek Yud Aleph. The Rebbeinu Shalom tells Moshe Rabbeinu that he's going to bring upon the Egyptians the final plague of Makas Pachairis. And then Paro is going to agree to allow Klal Yisrael to leave Mitzrayim. Not only is he going to allow you to leave Mitzrayim, but he's actually going to drive you out of Mitzrayim. He's going to try and get rid of you as fast as possible. And then the pasuk says the following: Daber no ba'oznei ha'om. Please make the following request from Klal Yisrael. Vayishalu ish me'eis re'ehu. The isha may esra usa, that every man should ask from his neighbor, and every woman from her neighbor and from her friend, amongst the Egyptians, clay kesef uklay zahov, utensils made from silver and utensils made from gold. In other words, the Rebbeinu Shlomo is instructing Moshe Rabbeinu that he in turn should instruct Klal Yisrael that the tenth and final plague is about to descend on the Egyptians, which will result in Paro chasing Am Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. And therefore, the Rebbeinu Shlomo wants that Am Yisrael should borrow as many clay chesef and clay zohov as they can from the Egyptians. The Gemara in Brachas on Daf Tes Amud Aleph says the following: that Omer le'Akadosh Baruch Hu le'Moshe, that the conversation that went on between the Ribbono Shel Olam and Moshe Rabbeinu was the following. That the Ribbono Shel Olam said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Bevakosha mimcha, I'm requesting from you, please, Lech ve'emor li Yisrael, go and ask Klal Yisrael that Bevakosha mimchem, that I'm requesting from them, that I'm asking from them, that Alim Mitzrayim Klei Kesef Klei Zohov, that they should go and borrow from the Egyptians both Klei Kesef and Klei Zohov, Shelo Yemer Oisai Tzadik, that Avraham Avinu shouldn't come to me with a taina, with an argument, that in the Bris Bein Absorim, you said to me, Ribbono Shel Olam, V'avodim v'inu eisom, V'achrei chen yeitzu b'richish gadol. You said to me that they will be in servitude, they will suffer in Mitzrayim, but afterwards they will depart from Mitzrayim with many, many possessions. And I don't want, says the Ribbono Shel Olam to Moshe, that Avraham Avinu should say to me that V'avodim v'inu oisom kiem bohem, that you, Ribbono Shel Olam, fulfilled the first part. You put them into slavery in Mitzrayim, and the Mitzrayim made them into slaves, and the Mitzrayim made them suffer. V'achrei chein, but you didn't fulfill the second part, that they're going to go out as wealthy people. Berechush Godel, with a great amount of possessions. And therefore, I would like that they should all borrow from the Mitzrayim, Klei Chesev and Klei Zahav, and then they will be going out of Mitzrayim with these Klei Chesev and Klei Zahav, which they won't have to return. And therefore, the second part of what I committed myself to Avraham Avinu will be fulfilled. And all the Mefoshim on the Gemara immediately asked the question, what does this mean? In other words, if the Ribbono Shel Olam wouldn't have been scared, as it were, kavyochol, from the possible complaint that Avraham Avinu will make against him, the Ribbono Shel Olam wouldn't have fulfilled the second part of the Havtocha that v'achrechein yetzu b'richosh gadol. In other words, the only reason why the Ribbono Shel Olam is fulfilling the second part of the Havtocha of v'achrechein yetzu b'richosh gadol is only because he's scared that otherwise Avraham Avinu is going to come to with a taina to him. And in addition, why do Chazal have to say that the description of the complaint that Avraham Avinu will have against the Ribbono Shel Olam is that you fulfill the first part of the promise, namely Ve'avodim Ve'inu Aysom, but you didn't fulfill the second part of the promise, namely Ve'achrechein Yetzu Berechush Gadol? The complaint is a valid complaint even without the first part. Even if the Ribbono Shel Olam did fulfill the first part, didn't fulfill the first part. That's not the issue. The issue is that the Ribbono Shel Olam promised Avraham Avinu that V'achreichein Yetzu Berechush Gadol, and if they're not going to be Yetzu Berechush Gadol, then that promise hasn't been fulfilled. Who cares whether the first part of the promise, the Avodim V'ainu Aysam, was yet fulfilled, nish fulfilled? That's not part of the complaint. But it's even more puzzling, because even if we're going to assume that for some reason the complaint of Moshe Rabbeinu is the complaint that part of the promise was fulfilled and part of the promise was not fulfilled, why did Chazal only quote a segment of the promise that the Ribbono Shel Olam gave to Avraham Avinu? In other words, the discussion that goes on, as far as Chazal are concerned, between Moshe Rabbeinu and the Ribbono Shel Olam, is the Ribbono Shel Olam saying to Moshe Rabbeinu that Avraham Avinu is going to come to it with a taina to me. What's his taina going to be? You fulfilled the first part, but you didn't fulfill the second part. That's not true. Because the first part contains more protim, more details, than just v'avodum v'inu aysom. The first part, if you look in the Bris Bein Absorim, in Parshas Lech Lecha, when this was told to Avraham Avinu, you'll see that the pasuk prior to v'yetzu b'rechush gadol says other things as well. It starts off Yodea Teda. The Ribbono Shel Olam says, this is what's going to happen. This is what I'm promising you will be. Ki ger yiyeh zaracho be'eretz lo lohem. Klal Yisrael are going to go out into exile into a land which doesn't belong to them, namely the land of Egypt. Va'avodun ve'inu esamah be'me'eshona. And there they're going to be in servitude, and there they're going to suffer for 400 years. So why in the discussion which goes on between Moshe Rabbeinu and the Ribbono Shel Olam, when the Ribbono Shel Olam is quoting what he said to Avraham And the possible argument that Avraham will have against that, why does he only quote from the middle? That V'avodum V'inu Oysom Avraham Avinu is going to say that you fulfilled. But the Yetzer Rish Gadol you didn't fulfill. What it should have said is that Yodea Teida Ki Ger Yiyeh Zaracha Be'eretz Lo Elohem. And V'avodum V'inu Oysom Avraham Avinu that you didn't that you fulfilled, but the Rebbe Chush Gadol you didn't fulfill. Why does the Ribbono Shel Olam, when describing the possible complaint that Avraham Avinu will have against him, miss out the first factor? Ki ger yiyeh zaracha be'eretz lo lahem. In addition, what was this promise that the Ribbono Shel Olam gave Avraham Avinu at the Bris Bein Habsorim? V'achrei chein yetzu b'rechosh gadol. And after it's all over, when they go out of Mitzrayim, they're going to go out of Mitzrayim as wealthy people. Because that's the Pashat of Pshat. The Pashat of Pshat of Rechush Gadol means material wealth. That's the Pashat of Pshat in the Pasuk. And that was fulfilled. Because they did go out very wealthy. Firstly, on the basis of those utensils that they actually borrowed from the Egyptians and never returned, the Chlei Chesef and the Chlei Zohov that Moshe Rabbeinu told them in the name of the Ribbono Shel Olam that they should borrow. And in addition, the Bizas Hayam, the fact that at Kriyas Yamsuf, the Egyptians who brought with them as adornments for their chariots, for their horses, etc., etc., all types of ornaments that were worth fortunes of money were taken by the Jews. And that's the Mefurish Gemara in Bechairis. The Gemara says in Bechairis, on Daf Hey Omid Beis, Ein lecha echad mi Yisrael, every single Jew who went out of Egypt without exception, had tishim chamirim mikaspo v'zahovo shel Mitzrayim, had 90 mules loaded up with gold and silver which they had taken from the Mitzrayim, either by borrowing from the Mitzrayim or by the Bizas Hayam. Does it make sense to say that the whole purpose, that the whole objective of Shibud Mitzrayim was in order that Jews should become wealthy, in order that Jews should go out of Mitzrayim with 90 mules loaded up with gold and silver. Now, and even more than that, if we are going to suggest that for whatever reason it may be, the objective of Yetzias Mitzrayim was that Jews should leave Mitzrayim wealthy, then why did it have to be done in such a way? Why was it necessary that the wealth that the Jews were taking out of Mitzrayim could only come about after 400 years of Shibud and Inui? If the Ribbono Shel Olam, for whatever reason it may be, decides that Jews, by the time they get to Maimon Har Sinai, have to be wealthy, he's got plenty of ways in which he can supply them with wealth. It doesn't have to be dependent on a prerequisite of 400 years of slavery. In addition, this expression, Rechush Gadol, is a strange expression. Because if it is, as it seems, befashtus, referring to material wealth, then why is the adjective Gadol? If you want to say in the language of Torah, a large amount of material goods, if you want to talk in terms of a large quantity of something which is material, you do not use in biblical Hebrew the expression gadol. You use a different word. The word is rav. The Horaya, Avraham and Lot. When the Torah wants to describe the extreme wealth of Avraham and Lot, what does the Torah say? Ki hoya rechushom rav. When Esav is telling Yaakov Avinu about the immense amount of wealth that he has, what does he say to him? Yesh li rav. In reference to material goods, a large amount of material goods, the Hebrew biblical word for large is rav and not godel. And then, on top of all this, is the time-old question which the Gemara already asks. In the Dorim, on Daf Lamed Beis Amud Aleph, and gives an answer there. And the Medrash asks, in Shemois, and all the Mefarshim talk about this. And that is, what did Klal Yisrael do which was so terrible that they deserved this einish, this punishment, of 400 years of galus? Because be'etzim there wasn't very much that they could have done wrong. Why? Because the whole shibud of Mitzrayim took place at a point in time when it wasn't really possible for Klal Yisrael to do anything wrong. Why? Because it was pre-Matan Torah, mitzvahs hadn't yet been given. So they weren't mitzuvim v'oisim. They weren't commanded to do anything other than the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach. And if they weren't keeping the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach, the Goyim certainly weren't keeping, the Mitzrayim certainly weren't keeping the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach. So even if you're going to say that Klal Yisrael or individuals in Klal Yisrael were mekayim Torah pre-matan Torah, but they weren't mekayim al mitzvah v'aisa, that if they didn't do it, they deserve a punishment. So bichlal, why was there a shibud Mitzrayim? What was the reason for it? And I wanted to suggest something here, which is a little bit maverick, maybe. Because it's not something which is stated clearly anywhere, but is a possibility. It would appear that already at the Bris Bein Habsorim, this question is answered. This last question is answered. This question of why did Klal Yisrael have to go through Galus Mitzrayim is already lichura answered in the Bris Bein Absorim. Why? Because what is Avraham Avinu told in the Bris Bein Absorim by the Ribbono Shel Olam? He's not only told that there's going to be a 400-year golus which is going to involve slavery and suffering, namely, Kigel Yiyeh Zeracho Be'eretz Lo Lohem V'Avodim Inu Oysom, but he's also being told the tachlis of the golus. He's also being told the objective of the golus. He's also being told the purpose of the golus. He's also being told why this golus is necessary. Because what is the Ribbono Shel Olam saying to him? After Avraham Avinu is told the fact that there is going to be a Golus, in order that Avraham Avinu shouldn't have this question that we all have. What was the terrible Aveira that Klal Yisrael did that they require this Golus? The Ribbono Shel Olam says to him, don't be surprised at this. Don't wonder, what are my kids going to do that they deserve such a punishment? It has nothing at all to do with punishment, says the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's all a prerequisite in order that the Achrei Kein Yetzu Berechush Godol. Golus Mitzrayim wasn't an einish for anything. Golus Mitzrayim was a precondition, a prerequisite, in order that an objective should be attained. And the objective that had to be attained was the Rechush Godol. In other words, when the Ribbono Shel Olam says to Avraham Avinu, V'achrei chen yetzu b'rechush godol, he's not telling him a side comforting thought. Don't worry about it, you're going to be slaves for 400 years. They're going to kill your babies and stick them into walls, but don't worry about it, because you'll make a buck out of it. You'll end up millionaires. That's not what Avraham Avinu was being told. Avraham Avinu was being told, you're descendants are going to go into Golus Mitzrayim, and the whole purpose and the whole function and the whole point of this Golus Mitzrayim is the V'achrei Chen Yetzu Baruchush Godol. Because the Ksav Yakabola in his Pirush on Chumash already raises the question that we asked. Why does the Pasuk use the expression Rechush Godol? Surely the Torah should use the expression Rechush Rav if we're talking about material wealth. Says the Ksav HaKabbala, therefore, if the Torah doesn't use the expression Rechush Rav, and the Torah uses the expression Rechush Godol, it must mean something else, says the Ksav HaKabbala. It can't mean simply just material wealth. It must mean some type of rechush which is qualitative. Because the expression Godoil in the Torah, says the Ksav HaKabbala, always refers to the qualitative aspect and the importance, the chashivas of the object. The haraya, says the Ksav HaKabbala, ki godel Hashem. Because there we're talking about chashivas, we're talking about quality. The ha'ish Moshe godel moed. These psukim, which use the word Godel, always refer to something which is qualitatively great, something which has a chashivus. Therefore, says the Ksav HaKabbala, when the Pasuk says, Sheyetzu Berechush Godel, Avadagavit, says the Ksav HaKabbala, no question that the Poshet Pshat is that they will go out with a lot of money. But it's also talking about spiritual wealth. And that's why the Pasuk uses the adjective Godel as opposed to the adjective Rav. Because Rav would limit it to only material. And Godel tells me that it's not only material, it's also something spiritual here. Says the Ksav HaKabbala, what is it? Says the Ksav HaKabbala, that after the Ribbono Shel Olam told Avraham Avinu that he is going to have descendants who are going to be kekoich ve'hashomayim. That's the expression that the Ribbono Shel Olam uses to Moshe, to Avraham Avinu. Says the Ksava Kabbalah, what does that mean? Your descendants, Klal Yisrael, are comparable to Koychovim. What do Koychovim do? They light up the night. Klal Yisrael has a function in the world, says the Ribbono Shel Olam to Avraham Avinu. Your descendants have a function in the world. And what's the function that they have in the world? Their function in the world is that they have to light up the world in a certain area. Says the Ksav HaKabbalah, what is the area in the world in which the Jew is meant to enlighten the world? Says the Ksav HaKabbalah, Hashgocha and Metzias of the Ribbono Shel Olam. It is the Jew that represents within humanity that group of people that testifies to the fact that there are a group of people in the world who believe in monotheism and believe in one God and they believe in the Ashgocha of the Ribbono Shel Olam. And the Ribbono Shel Olam says the Ksav HaKabbalah, B'chochmosoi, understood that when a nation lives in peace, in tranquility, and doesn't experience open miracles, doesn't experience in a very clear-cut and open manner, Oseis and Moifsim, which are coming from the Ribbono Shel Olam, he doesn't get that quality of emunah in the Ribbono Shel Olam and that quality of emunah in Hashgacha that he gets when he experiences b'chush, the Yad Hashem. Therefore, that entire generation had to go through an oil and a shibud. They had to go through slavery. They had to go through suffering. They had to experience the open miracles that the Ribbono Shel Olam did to take them out of that slavery and that suffering in order that they should become a nation whose clarity of Metzias Hashem and of Hashgachas Hashem is such that they can act as the example par excellence of Ma'aminim to the rest of the world. And this, says the Ksav HaKabbalah, was the Rechush Godol that Klal Yisrael were going to walk out of Mitzrayim with. In other words, the whole point, the whole function, the whole purpose of Golus Mitzrayim was for the benefit of Klal Yisrael in order that Klal Yisrael can be prepared, that Klal Yisrael will be able to be mekabel ol Torah and ol mitzvahs and ol malchut shamayim in order that they should be able to fulfill their function in the world, which is to be mefits the concept by example of emuna and ashgocha, which can only come about if they experience oseis and moifsim, which are, or which were, a result of the shibud and the oil of Mitzrayim. In addition, it was only after the negative experience of the tsar and the suffering and the pain of being meshubed to a melech basar v'dam that could create within the Klal Yisrael a desire to be meshubed to something else which would be better for them, namely to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Had they not had the experience of being meshubed to a melech in a negative manner in Mitzrayim, they would never have been able to be meshubed themselves in a positive manner at Maimed Har Sinai to the Ribbono Shel Olam. If we look back at the parsha of the Bris Bein Absorim, what is Avraham Avinu told there? Avraham Avinu is told there, Yodea Teda, you have to know something. Ki ger yiye zaracho be'eretz loy lohem. The Klal Yisrael are going to be strangers in a foreign land. They're going to be kicked out of their own land of Eretz Yisrael, and they're going to be exiled to foreign lands. Ve'avodum ve'inu oisom arba me'os shona. And they will be slaves, and they will suffer 400 years. Says Rabbi Yisrael Salanta, in Even Yisrael, there are two ways of understanding this pasuk. It is possible, he says, that the pasuk is telling us that Klal Yisrael will have to experience both things. Ki ger yiyeh zaracho be'eretz lo lohem ve'avodim ve'inu oisom arba me'os shana. In which case the vav is a vav hachibor, connecting the two things together. Or it's possible, says Rabbi Yisrael Salanta, that this pasuk is oy oy ktoni. This pasuk is telling us that it's going to be one or it's going to be the other. Says Rabbi Yisrael Salanta Lichura, this is totally on the machaikis between Rabbi Yeshia and Rabbi Einason in Bav Metzia Daf Sadi Dalet, as to whether Vav is Moisif or Vav is Mechalekes. What type of Vav is this? Is it a Vav which is Moisif on the first statement, or is it a Vav which separates from the third statement? According to Rabbi Yeshia, who says Vav Moisif, then says Rabbi Yisrael Salanta, the Pshat and the Pasuk is that Avraham Avinu is being told that they will suffer both things. But if we're going to say like Rabbi Einason, that it's a Vav of Machalekes, then the Pshat in the Pasuk is, says Rabbi Yisrael Salanta, that the Ribbono Shel Olam is saying, Klal Yisrael will be exiled. It could be just an exile of being in a foreign land. Or it could be an exile of being in a foreign land and also the Avodim Ve'inu Oisom. According to that interpretation of Rabbi Yisrael Salanta, seeing that it is possible, at least according to Rabbi Einason, that the golus which the Ribbono Shel Olam says that Klal Yisrael will have to go through will only be a golus of being kicked out of Eretz Yisrael, but doesn't necessarily involve suffering in the land into which you are kicked out into, that the exile doesn't necessarily involve suffering. Why is it, Taka, that the Golas Mitzrayim had to involve the second part as well? Had to involve suffering. According to Bisro Zalanta, it was either or. So why didn't the Ribbono Shel Olam just take them out of Eretz Yisrael, put them into Mitzrayim? Why do they have to go through suffering in Mitzrayim? The truth is that Chazal already tell us, Medrash, in the very first perek of Shemais, Vayomos Yosef v'chol echov, that Yosef and all his brothers died, v'chol adorahu and that entire generation, lelamdecha, that comes to teach us, shekol zman shehoyo echod mehem kayom me'oison sheyoldum lemitzrayim, that the entire period of time that anybody from the family of Yaakov who came down with Yaakov to Mitzrayim, or for the family of Yosef that was in Mitzrayim, was still alive? Loi shibdu Mitzrayim b'Yisrael. Kal Yisrael weren't enslaved. Only after the death of the entirety of the family who came with Yaakov Avinu down to Mitzrayim, only after they'd all died out, then started the Gzeira Kosher of the Avodum V'inu Aysam. And even then, not the entirety of Klal Yisrael was Nishtabed. Because Chazal tell us, in Perek Hay in the Medrash, in Shmois, that Shevet Levi Ponu Mi'avedas Perachayu. That Shevet Levi weren't involved in the Avodas Parah. They weren't part and parcel of the Shibud. Why is it that by part of Klal Yisrael, the Shibud Mitzrayim existed, and by a chelik of Klal Yisrael, it was only the first part of the Havtocha to Avraham Avinu that was fulfilled, namely the fact that they were in a foreign country, they weren't in Eretz Yisrael. But the Avodim, the Inu Islam, wasn't fulfilled. There is a very interesting Ksav Sofer who comments on the pasuk in last week's parsha, the pasuk which says, "Vayomer Hashem ra'i ra'isi es oni ami asher b'mitzrayim v'tzakosam shomati mipnei noikshov, ki yodaiti es mach oivov." When the Rebbeinu Shalom says to Moshe Rabbeinu, "I have seen what Klal Yisrael are going through in Mitzrayim. I have heard their cries, which they are crying out because of the suffering that they're going through by the people who are enslaving them, by the taskmasters. And I understand," says the Ribbono Shloilam, "their pain." Says the Ksav Sofer, why is there such a lengthy statement being made by the Ribbono Shloilam? "I have seen Yodei Roye Roisius Oni Ami Asher B'Mitzrayim Ve'esa Kosom Shomati Mipnei Noikshav Ki Yodaiti Es Machoivov." The Rebbeinu Shloilam should say, "I know what's going on with the Jews in Egypt, and therefore..." Why is he giving drushes here? Says the Ksav Sofer that the Medrash already asks on the Lashon, this double expression which we spoke about on previous occasions. We've already mentioned the concept of double expressions. Ro'oi ro'isi. The Medrash says that the Ribbono Shloilam said to Moshe Rabbeinu, "Ato ro'ye re'iyo achas." You only see one perspective. "V'ani ro'ye shtei re'iyois." And I see two perspectives. And that's why the Pasuk says, "Roi Roisi," because the Ribbono Shel Olam is saying, "I'm seeing two perspectives here." Says the Ksav Sofer, what does that mean? Says the Ksav Sofer, explains in the following way. He says, when the Jews initially came to Mitzrayim, they led a very good life. They had everything that they needed. Nevertheless, Yaakov Avinu and the Shiftei Kor were upset. They weren't happy there, says the Ksav Sofer. Why weren't they happy there? Because they were upset about the fact that they had to leave Eretz Yisrael. Because, and the Ksav Sofer phrases this in a beautiful way, he says that Yaakov Avinu and the Shvatim said, "Toiv his stayfeif bebeis elikim." It's better to be in a difficult situation in the Beis Elikim midor ba'olei rosha, rather than be in a comfortable situation by a rosha. However, that was the door of Yankiv and that was the Shiftei Kol, says the Ksav Sefer. The following generations, they didn't have this hargosha that we're missing something because we're not in Eretz Yisrael, because we're not in the Beis Elikim. They didn't have that sensitivity. Therefore, they were having a good life. Their problems only started, says the Ksav Sefer, when the Egyptians started persecuting them. Then it became uncomfortable for them. By them, it was only difficult because of Noikshehem, because they had taskmasters that were driving them. A person only sees that which exists in front of his eyes, says Ksav Sefer. Therefore, they looked at their initial coming to Mitzrayim as being good, and now it's bad, because now we're being persecuted. But says the Ribbono Shel Olam, I know the truth. Roi Roisi. I don't see things from one perspective. I see things from two perspectives, says the Ribbono Shel Olam. Even those who came initially to Mitzrayim, it wasn't good for them either. Those people who were born into slavery in Mitzrayim, what did they say, says the Ksav Sefer? They said, oh, the old days were good. We were all in Goshen. And we all had parnasa and everything was fine. Now it's terrible, because now we're slaves. Says the Ribbono Shel Olam, that's the perspective of this generation. But I know that even in the old days it wasn't good, because those people who came to Mitzrayim and who lived in Goshen, they suffered, because they had the sensitivity to understand that there's a big difference between an Eretz of Arosha and Beis Elikim of Eretz Yisrael. They were upset because they left the Paltarin Shel Melech. Says the Ksav Sefer, for that first group who came down, Yankiv and the Shiftei Kol, the actual fact that they weren't in Eretz Yisrael and that they were Geirim in an Eretz Lo'ilohem, that was the biggest golas that could be, having to leave Paltarin Shel Melech. For the second generation, says the Ksav Sefer, that already wasn't a punishment, because they had no sensitivity to Eretz Yisrael. So they looked at that period of time as being marvelous. For them, Golus is only when they're slave, when they're enslaved, when they're suffering. Says the Ksav Sefer, that's the pshat in the Pasuk. What does the Ribbono Shel Olam say? The Ribbono Shel Olam says, I see two ra'iyos. Es oni ami asher b'mitzrayim. I see oni ami, the poverty of my people, asher b'mitzrayim, the first generation where the whole poverty was, the whole goddess was, just the fact that they're in Mitzrayim. And then I see the second perception, says the Ribbono Shel Olam, the second generation. Es sa'kosom shamati mipnei noigshov. The ones in this generation who the goddess is not the fact that they're in Mitzrayim. They don't care about that. They're very happy about that, actually. It's a nice place to live. It's just if it wouldn't be slaves here. Now, the Ksav Sefer learned pshat that we're talking about two generations. It's possible. You don't even have to go so far. In Mitzrayim Gufa, even after the Dor of Yankiv and the Shiftei Kol had died out, there were still two segments of Klal Yisrael. There was a segment of Klal Yisrael, Shevet Levi, and others, whose sensitivity was such that the very fact that they're not in Paltrin Shel Melech constituted for them the worst thing that could be, the biggest suffering that could be. They didn't need to be enslaved. And then there was the rest of Klal Yisrael, who didn't mind being there. They didn't care that they were in Mitzrayim. They just didn't want to be slaved. Golus could have been in one of two ways. For those who are margish that Mitzrayim is Eretz Hatumo, for those that are margish that we're missing something, if they're not in Eretz Yisrael, the very fact that they're not in Eretz Yisrael constitutes golus. But for those who don't have that sensitivity, then the golus has to be a golus of shibud, of slavery. And the same is true of Yachrei Chein Yotze B'Rechush Godel. Those who are interested only in materialism, then the Yachrei Chein Yotze B'Rechush Godel would be material. But for those who the golus is a spiritual golus, then the reward of Yachrei Chein Yotze B'Rechush Godel also has a spiritual dimension. Because that's Borah. As far as Avraham Avinu was concerned, if Klal Yisrael would have left Mitzrayim without Kesef and without Zov and without any Rechush Gashmi, Avraham Avinu couldn't have cared less. He wouldn't have been mitztayer on that at all, and he wouldn't have come with any complaints to the Ribbono Shel Olam. What Avraham Avinu was worried about was the Rechush Ruchni. And that's what Avraham Avinu could have come with a taina to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And that's why only the second part of the Pasuk is mentioned, not the first part. Avraham Avinu would come with a time to the Ribbono Shel Olam. You put them through Golus, and what are you going to do? Give them a Rechush Ruchni? He doesn't speak to them, because I'm talking about the people, says Avraham Avinu, of the Avodim Ve'inu Oysom, the people whose Golus had to be a Golus of Avodim Ve'inu Oysom. They need Kesef Azov because they don't understand anything else. I think there's a Miridika Limud here. In the history of Golos, there's a pattern. In the history of Golos, there's a pattern, a very clear-cut pattern. Jews got exiled from Eretz Israel. They were sent to all sorts of places. Sometimes for hundreds of years, they lived in those places. And they became part and parcel of the society of those places. And they were successful in those places. And they became powerful members of the community of the place that they were in. Sometimes they became politically very powerful. And sometimes they became economically very powerful. But zem gelebt a guten tog. They had a good life there. And then all of a sudden, overnight, in terms of the span of history, anti-Semitism starts, anti-Jewish legislation starts, which finally leads to violence against Jews. That is a pattern, and perhaps we are close to a generation which actually saw that in its extreme, right? The Holocaust. Germany, a place where Jews were part and parcel of society and played a very important role in terms of professionals, in terms of politics, in terms of economics, in terms of everything. And all of a sudden, overnight, basically, the situation changed. And it's very interesting. What happens when that situation changes? What happens? Jews react. How do Jews react? They start looking for what is the source of anti-Semitism. And they get involved in these great philosophies of why is it that anti-Semitism arises. And then they come up with little theories. The events of the last 2-3 weeks is a classic example of this. Jews lived in France. They're part and parcel of the political system, they're part and parcel of the economic system. Jews became very wealthy in France. And all of a sudden, anti-Semitism, which started off as verbal anti-Semitism, ends up with murdering Jews. And everybody's looking, well, why did this happen? So they come up with theories, because there's a mass immigration of Muslims, etc., 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 etc. What happens? The minute that anti-Semitism starts in a country, what is the reaction of Jews, even of Haredi Jews? I saw a write-up in the paper this week. 4 pages, an interview with a Jew in America who's a spokesman for Agudas Yisrael of America. And it's unbelievable. It was unbelievable to read this interview. He's going on about a problem in Muncie, Gansa Meisa, with the school district, that they're putting in an outside guy, which means that the Jews won't be able to get the same amount of money that they were getting until now, because there's a problem there. 90% of the Jews in this school district are Orthodox Jews, therefore 90% of the money goes to the Orthodox Jewish schools from the school district, and then the non-Jewish school doesn't get anything. So they did something, they did a legal maneuvering in order to make sure that the Jews wouldn't get the money. So Agudas Yisrael of America is up in arms. What are they screaming? Equal rights. Jews have equal rights in this country to non-Jews. So they're running to Washington and they're making demonstrations and they're turning over a world. On what basis? Equal rights. This is our country as much as it's your country. What happened to Golus? It disappeared. I've said many times, my father-in-law used to say over B'Shem the Rizhne, it's such a gewaltic story. My father-in-law, Zichron Yevracha, used to stay over, the Rizhne said the following. There was a peasant. He didn't know anything, he could daven, that's all he could do. But he went to shul one Shabbos and he heard a speaker speak. And the speaker spoke about Mashiach. And that Mashiach was going to come and take all the Jews to Eretz Yisrael. And he got very emotionally involved with this speech. And he got all hyped up from the speaker. So when he came back home, Motzi Shabbos, he said to his wife, "You should have been in shul." She said, "Why?" He said, "You don't know what's going to happen." She said, "What's happening?" He said, "Mashiach is coming." She said, "Who's Mashiach?" So he tries to explain to her what the speaker said, Mashiach, and what it means, Mashiach, Mashiach. She doesn't understand what he's talking about. So he realizes he's getting nowhere, so he says, "Sit down." So she sits down. So he says to her, "Do we have parnasa?" She says, "Yes." He says, "How do we have parnasa?" She says, "Because we have a cow." So he says, "So what?" So she says, "Well, the cow gives milk. I make cheese from the milk. What we have in the, we need for ourselves, we keep for ourselves. What we don't need, we sell. And therefore we've got money, and therefore we can buy other things. And if the cow dies, so we sell the cow to the Goisha butcher, and he pays us for the cow. And then we go and we buy another cow, and then we have milk again, and then we have cheese again." So he says to her, "So you're telling me that we're billionaires? We're making a fortune here." She says, "No." He says, "Why not?" She says, "There's a problem." So he says, "What's the problem?" She says, "The problem is that every so often the Cossacks come." So she says, "So what happens when the Cossacks come?" So she says to him, "Well, when the Cossacks come, they kill the cow, and they kill the cow, we get into a problem." So he says, "Oh! That's Mashiach." So she says, "What?" He says, "The Ribbono Shel Olam is going to come one day, somebody on a white horse, and he's going to take us away to Eretz Yisrael. And in Eretz Yisrael, there are no Cossacks." So she still says the Rishna, and she looks at him, and she says, "Could you possibly suggest to the Ribbono Shel Olam that the guy on the white horse takes the Cossacks to Eretz Yisrael? Because that will also solve the problem." Says the Rishna, "That's the Jew in Golus. The Jew sits in America and he says, I want Mashiach to come and take all the American non-Jews to Eretz Yisrael. Then there won't be any anti-Semitism in America because it'll be all Jews. Is there a Jew sitting somewhere in Chutz Loretz when anti-Semitism starts that turns around and says to himself, there are two options of Golos. There is an option of Golos of Kigel Yezeracho Be'eretz Loilohem. And it can stop there. But it only stops there if the Jew sitting in Golos understands that he's in Golos. That he left Paltrin Shel Melech and he's sitting in a Shibud of a Melech Rosho. But the minute that the Jew becomes satisfied with sitting in Golos, that he loses the sensitivity of the fact that he's not in the Paltrin Shel Melech. The minute the Jew forgets about the fact that Kol Ir, as Yirmiyo Anovi says, Shekol Ir Al Tilo Benuyo, Ve'iro Elikim Mushpeles Hacha'el Tachtis. When the Jew forgets about the fact that Yerushalayim is Bechurbono, and New York is Bebinyono, and that doesn't worry him anymore, and he doesn't feel bad about that, and that doesn't play a role in his life whatsoever, the Rebbe Yishalem says this Golos isn't working. So we have to give them a different type of Golos. We have to give them a Golos that they should be scared where they are. We have to give them a Golos that they should feel the Shibud. Anti-Semitism comes about when Jews forget that they're in Golos and start seeing the Golos as being an ideal situation. To the degree that what is the difference between me and the non-Jew here? Whatever rights the non-Jew has, I have. It's a democratic society. I have a right to be here. The minute you say I have a right to be here, you're saying this is my place. And the minute you're saying this is my place, you've forgotten about Eretz Yisrael, you've forgotten about Yerushalayim, you've forgotten about Churban Beis HaMikdash. You've forgotten about Golos, about Shechinta B'Golusa, because when Klal Yisrael went out into Golos, the Shechina went out into Golos. That doesn't worry you. Says the Rebbe Yishalem, if that's the case, I'll make you remember. I'll give you what reason, good reason to remember that you're in Golos. How Golos looks, what Golos involves, is up to us. The way in which we relate to Golos is the way in which the Rebbe Yishalem will relate to us. And if unfortunately, we keep forgetting that.